Our theme verse in the youth department for the leadership team is Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to start a series of probably three messages tonight on the subject of faith. As we approach our Faith Promise Missions Conference, I want to just challenge you in the area of faith. Everyone in this room tonight practices faith. Everyone in the world practices faith. Some have placed their faith in their educational system. Some place their faith in their own human intellect, which God Almighty gave them, the thinking ability. And with that, they have determined that God doesn't exist. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But that's what's happened. And so they have placed their faith in that which they can reason in their own mind. All of you today, at some point, got up and turned a light switch on, probably. You practiced an element of faith. Now, it may have been based upon the fact that that light, when you flipped it up before, came on, but you ever turn it on and it not come on, and then you go, what's going on, you know? Some of you practiced a great deal of faith when you got in your car and put the key in it and turned the switch, right? Whether or not it was coming or not. You sat down in these chairs tonight. There's an element of faith in which you trusted it was going to hold you up. Probably no one in this room thought about how much load-bearing this particular chair is supposed to carry and how much load it's carried in the past 13 years or so that it's been here and so forth. Probably no one really thought about that. You just walked in here and sat down. But have you ever seen anybody sit in a chair and it collapse underneath them? So I have to, what are you laughing for? It's always funny when it happens to somebody else, right? Once you find out they're okay. I mean, you know, we wouldn't want anybody to get hurt or anything, right? Unless you're my daughter, Rebecca, and she loves to see people hurt. I mean, she just dies laughing with it. I'm like, Rebecca, you got to, what's wrong with you, child, you know? She'd be dying laughing. We're like, what are you laughing at? This guy fell off and cracked his head. It's so funny. I'm like, really? You must take after your mother or something. I mean, I don't know what the world is. No, Mom. That, if you know her, that's obviously not true. She's got the gift of mercy for sure. But I want to speak tonight really on the forgotten ingredient of faith. I'm afraid that many times in our lives, we go about that which can be humanly explained. In other words, everything in our life we do, someone could explain it from a human standpoint instead of from a supernatural standpoint. We typically point to others when we talk about their faith. We think that it takes great faith to go to a mission field or it takes great faith to do whatever. But the truth is, the Bible tells us that we are to be living life daily by faith. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please him. And so logic says that if we're not living by faith, we're not pleasing God. And simply put tonight, in order to please God, you must live by faith. We're scared, I think, today because we've shied away from faith because of what the Pentecostal movement has done. And they've made it such a big deal and all this kind of stuff that we've kind of, ooh, I don't know that we want to talk about it anymore. But the fact is, God wants us to live daily by faith. Faith is, in general, the persuasion of the mind that a certain statement is true and living by that statement. And each of you practice that every day. You get up in the morning because you believe something is true and you act on that. Some of you tomorrow will get up and go to work. You're doing so because you believe there's an employer out there that's going to pay you something. That really is by faith. It may be that they've done it for the last 20 years. Okay, but nevertheless, it's still by faith. Billy handed me my paychecks this morning and said, "Deacon said you could stay another month." I said, "Well, I appreciate that very much, you know. So I've got another month to work through this, all right?" But really, we live life day by day by faith. But whether or not that faith is placed in God is a big deal. And I want you to answer in your own mind tonight, what are you doing that cannot be humanly explained? What are we as a church doing that cannot be humanly explained? Are we functioning by faith? One writer has said, it's the primary idea is trust. A thing is true and therefore worthy of trust. Either God is true or He's not. Either He's worthy of taking us to heaven and capable thereof, or He's not. And if He's capable of taking us to heaven, then He's capable of ordering our day-by-day life, is He not? I don't know about you, but in some ways, it's easier for me to trust that God's going to take me to heaven one day than it is that He's going to provide my needs tomorrow. That's the way we function many times. The conviction of the truth of anything or a belief, it also has the idea of the character of the one who can be relied on. Is God worthy of our faith? Well, we know the answer, right? I mean, all of us in this room, I believe, would say, well, absolutely. Okay. It's kind of like the guy who stood at the edge of Niagara Falls and said, how many of you believe I can take this wheelbarrow across this little line? And everybody, the crowd screamed and yelled, and he said, who's going to get in the wheelbarrow? Standing here today, it's easy for us to say, oh yeah, oh, God is absolutely worthy of our trust. Are you getting in the wheelbarrow? Well, now, wait a minute, Pastor. Now, that let's don't be radical here. You understand by its very definition, faith is radical. Now, it doesn't mean dumb, okay? But it does mean radical. And so tonight I want us to just see really the first in a number of points that I want to make in this message from the Word of God, and that is the focus of faith. The focus of faith. People place their trust in what they think God should be, or in a certain way God should act, not in who He really is. If you've interacted with anybody in the world, you've probably been asked or something along these lines, well, if God was, then why did He? Well, the truth is, we don't get to make up God. We get to trust who He is, whether we understand it all the time or not. And the truth is, there are times that I must admit that I'm lost. I can't give you an answer to some of the questions you have. That in itself is what faith is. If it could be completely explained and worked through, then it's no longer faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I think there's a lot about God and the Word of God and what we believe that makes logical sense. I believe that. But there are some things that I cannot explain to you, and you're going to have to believe it by faith. And if you can't do that, God is not going to be pleased. That's what the Word of God says. Psalms chapter 71 and verse 1 says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." Does the focus of our faith really matter? It does. It matters a great deal. What if we create a God that gives us whatever we want, never tries us, never does anything we don't like? What happens to faith when he, that is our made-up God, disappoints us? Because those who place their faith in medicine are going to be disappointed. Those who place their faith in, you name it, it doesn't matter. As the folks on the Titanic learned, God can sink the unsinkable. As we come out of Hebrews chapter 11 and move into chapter 12, I think we can get what I have called, and what has been a great help to me, a working definition of faith. All right, now I understand in Hebrews 11:1 we have a definition. Okay, of what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But as we move into chapter 12, and remember there's no chapter breaks in the original, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So coming out of Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith, all the people that did incredible things for God, he says, "Wherefore, because of this, we've got this great cloud of witnesses. There's some things I want you to do specifically." And let me give you five things about faith. And if you're taking notes, you can write these and then we'll explain them. And it represents an acrostic of faith that's been a help to me. Okay? Faith is a focused attitude intended towards holiness. So F-A-I-T-H, faith is a focused attitude intended towards holiness. And I think we can see that play out in chapter 12. And I want us to do that tonight just quickly. The focus then we find in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. We've already read verse 1. Verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, a right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." By the way, when you get to a point that you've stopped practicing faith, that battle first was lost in your mind. And the writer of Hebrews says, look, whenever you get to that, whenever you feel like everything is just falling in around you, consider him. And tonight, as we take communion, we're going to do that. We're going to consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. What's going to happen if we do that? Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. When you consider him, what's happening around us, the difficulties that we may be experiencing, that which we think is unbearable, when we look at the cross, every bit of that pales in significance. There's not one thing that we've ever been through for the cause of Christ that would remotely come close to what happened on the cross. And if we could put aside for a moment all the physical torture that our Lord went through on the cross, we haven't even begun to touch the weight of the sin of the entire world being placed on the spotless, sinless Son of God. You and I could not even come close to understanding that. So it's a focus. We're considering Him. We're focused upon Him. Then number two, it's an attitude. He says in this same passage of Scripture that we're to lay aside. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In other words, our attitude has to be that which is pleasing to God. And we have to choose to lay aside every weight. Now listen, weights are not necessarily wrong. He does mention, and the sin which does so easily beset us. There are things that we deal with that are sin, but the weights here aren't necessarily wrong things, but they're things we willfully choose to lay aside for the cause of Christ. I could have that item, but I'm not going to. I'm going to lay that aside for the cause of Christ. That's an attitude. So it's a focused attitude intended. Look at chapter 12 and verse 10. For they verily, this is talking about fathers, earthly fathers, for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but He, that is God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. So what's the intended? God says there's a profit in this. That it is for our benefit, if you will. Now, and He goes on to say, no chastening seemeth joyous at the time. We referenced that this morning. But afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So as we focus on God, God transforms our attitude. He has something that He's bringing us towards. That's the intended. There's profit involved in this process. And many times, God brings us to decisions that He knows it's going to stretch us. Brings us to the point where we say, wait a minute, Lord. I've already crossed a whole lot of bridges. But this one's kind of crazy. Or do you want me to cross the bridge and there's not even a bridge there? I have to build the bridge and then cross it. But see, God has a purpose in mind. There's profit that He wants for us. And He knows what's going to happen down the road. We all could probably look back at times when we thought we were going to break. Josh, I guarantee you, can tell you about some of those times. Times when you thought, all right, I'm done. Forget this. You know, of course, the alternatives aren't real great at the time. But boy, you just get to a point of just quitting. I remember twice while I was in boot camp, I got to that point. I thought, I don't care what happens, I'm done. Once was in the swim test, which is 5 minutes. I don't know what it is now, but when I was in, it was 5 minutes of treading water in full camis. Those things are heavy, all right? And you may think, 5 minutes, whatever. You try that sometime. That's a long time to like that, okay? Like, you shouldn't be breathing that hard. I know. Like I said, you try it sometime and see what happens. And I remember, boy, getting to the end and thinking, all right, I'm done. I'd already gone under about 3 or 4 times, and I'm thinking, breathing is a good thing, and there's a wall right here, and I'm just about to grab the wall, and I don't care what it means in the end. I thought, just try a little bit more, and they blew the whistle. Whew. I was really thankful for that. But what was their purpose? Well, they're stretching us. They're pushing us. God's purpose, what He's intending for us, is our profit and His glorification. And yes, He's going to expand us. He's going to say, well, I want you to take that step. Lord, that's a little bit further than I'm comfortable with. I know. And we could look back 20 years and say, wow, I do a lot more than I thought I could do. A lot more faith being practiced on a day-by-day basis. By the way, it's only God's goodness that keeps us from knowing what He's going to ask us to do 40 years from now. Because we would say, wait a minute. Nope, not that. I'm long ways from that. And God knows that too. But He has a prophet that He's bringing us to. He's intending us. And then towards Hebrews 12:3, for consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. In other words, God says, focus on that which is towards something. It's not just a general focus, but we have a specific thing in mind. Look at the cross. When we feel like quitting, when we feel like throwing in the towel, when things get tough, look at the cross. Just consider what that's all about. I believe one of the reasons for the Lord's Supper tonight is to force us to stop and consider Him. What He really went through. So when you think it's too much for you to witness to that person on the job, you think about him hanging there in shame as they mocked Him. And they said to Him, He saved others. Himself He cannot save. In my Bible, I have that word circled, and I put the word would not. It wasn't a matter of cannot. It wasn't that He had to stay on that cross. He chose to stay on that cross. And all those people that were making fun of them, He stayed on that cross for them. And then we see lastly towards holiness, a focused attitude intended towards holiness. Verse 10, the end part of that verse says, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Look at verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So as God pushes us along in our faith journey, He's asking us to be more and more like Himself. Now, I realize that either you're holy or you're not holy, and I understand that, but there's an element in which God wants us to be more holy than we were yesterday, more righteous. He's wanting us to grow. And so this faith is a matter of how much you're going to trust me. Do you trust me this much? What about this much? What about this much? Some of you college students that are just coming, you may be faced with, I got payment one paid for, maybe payment two, maybe you even got the first semester paid for. And you're thinking, that's really good. Not to be, throw a bucket of cold water, but you got eight of those semesters to finish. You know that, right? And you're like, wait a minute. I don't know where that money's coming from. I know. God does. And He didn't want you to know right now. Because one day He's going to ask you to step out by faith and go do whatever. Plant a church, go to the mission field, whatever. And you're going to be like, Lord, that's crazy. I can't do that. And he's just going to stretch you a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. He's going to take you a little bit more out of your comfort zone. That's what faith is. And I'm grateful that we serve a God that doesn't ask us today to be here and tomorrow to be across the parking lot. He allows us to grow. But can I tell you also that if you're not taking steps towards practicing more faith, then you can't please God. And I don't know about you, but for me personally, the faith promise commitment that I made September of last year was a big step. But the truth is, it's not really that big of a step anymore. I'm not saying that it's easy now. I'm just saying it's not as near as big of a faith step for me as it was last year at this time. So God wants me to take a little bit more of a step. And for you, maybe for some of you, certainly as we prepare for missions conference, we're thinking about the financial aspect of giving by faith. But there are all kinds of other areas out there. For some of you to step in a classroom and open your mouth and something intelligent come out is a big deal. And I'm being serious about that. That is a huge step of faith for you. And when God asks you to do it, you go, what? It could be like Moses. Excuse me? Well, you must have somebody else in mind because this tongue can't be doing that. But God's asking you maybe just to take that step. Whatever it is, the focus of our faith is very important. It's God. Lord, do you want me to take this step? Is this what God wants me to do? It may not make sense. Everybody around me may think, are you crazy? This is what God wants me to do. Okay, then I'm going to step out and let God take care of the details. Because if I don't, I'm not living by faith. And I can't please God. And God wants to make me that person that I should be. And He wants to be pushing me all the time. Pushing me all the time. Pushing me all the time. Just take another step. And another step. And another step. And we're working. And we're moving forward. And we're just challenging. Our little granddaughter right now, London, is just starting to take steps. And she'll take that one step. And then those little legs, you know, start wobbling around like, oh boy, you know. And you know, I think that's why they wear diapers during this time, right? They don't potty train and then start walking. They do the other things. So it's kind of protection back there, right? And she'll stand by the couch and she'll let go and not realize that she's letting go. And then all of a sudden, it's like, put the hands back on something secure here, you know? I would be crazy to walk up to London and say, you got two choices. If you want to eat tonight, you're going to walk across the living room. Or else you're going to bed. You're like, really? That's crazy. Of course it is. Hey, so God's not asking you today to take off running. But He does want you to take a step. And the truth is, our granddaughter, as she grows, she's 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years old. And she's still not willing to take the step. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. God wants us to take that step. Our focus of our faith should be towards God. We have to please Him. And to do that, we have to live a life of faith, simply put. Father, thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You that we can have a focused attitude intended towards holiness. That is, Lord, You want us to be growing as we concentrate on You, as we move forward in difficult areas and being stretched and moved. Maybe it's in our finances or in our teaching ability, in our soul winning, whatever it may be, that you're pushing us and pushing us to live a little bit more by faith every day. May we do that. Or may we not be foolish, but may we just simply act in faith for what you have done in our lives. It's important, Lord, that we focus upon you. In Christ's name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Where's your focus tonight? Are you living life by faith? Have you really focused on God and as he asks you to take another step? And are you resisting that step of faith? God's just asking you to take that next step in front of you. You'd say, Pastor, I've struggled with that step of faith. And the truth is, there's a lot in my life that's not by faith, but I'd like for it to be. Tonight, God's convicted me about that. Would you just slip up your hand? I don't have a lot of faith that I'm practicing, but I'd like for it to be. Wonderful. Good. Praise the Lord. Others, slip it up and then put it right back down. I'm not really practicing a lot of faith. Good. Praise the Lord. Other hands. Thank you. You can put those down. Maybe the focus of your faith has not been God. Maybe it's been a Sunday school teacher, a youth worker, or a master's club worker, or whatever, and it's not really been God. It's been on a human being, but God's convicted you tonight that it needs to be focused on Him and Him only. But you'd like to get that right tonight as well. Would you slip up your hand? God's, my focus needs to be where it needs to be. Praise the Lord. Someone else. Good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, thank you for the tender hearts tonight. And we pray that as we continue to learn about faith, that it will challenge us to step out, move forward for what you've asked us to do. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen.